You're listening to Hugh Talk America.
Oh, there we go. It's the rejoinder. It happened. I was able to put that little break together without screwing it up too badly. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's the show. It's a Tuesday night. We're live in Studio C in Central Phoenix, Arizona. It's a lovely Tuesday evening. I've got Kat Carlson, Doug Wilkie, and Al Perkins rounding out our cast. Marnie Ryer is on assignment. I just like saying that.
I love that.
She's very busy. She was stressing out over...
She's reporting foul from the field?
Yes.
Okay.
She was stressing out with a project she had to finish up for work, and I'm like, don't stress. At that point, I didn't think we were going to do a show, but here we are. We're doing a show. Look
here
at
it
us.
Is.
You're welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Ah, well, coming up in this hour, we're going to talk about some headline stuff later on. It'll be entertainment things, and then Kat Carlson's Wheel of the Week.
Yay.
Uh-huh. Good times. Things
very
happening.
Excited. We're very excited.
Here we go. Well, the rabbit, it had a rap sheet. The news on Easter was full of videos of a man in a bunny costume involved in a brawl in Orlando, Florida, who claimed innocence by saying he was defending a woman who had been spit on. He says, quote, I'm the type of person who avoids fights by any means necessary. But in that situation, I would fight any day for her. Well, that was Antoine McDonald, a 20-year-old man who told the media of his bravery in breaking up this brawl. But
such valor.
But the Tampa Bay Times reports that McDonald seems to have a rap sheet that, well, his chivalrous image of breaking up a fight, a little tarnished now. The Pasco County Sheriff's Office said McDonald is wanted in New Jersey in connection with a vehicle burglary that was, and it was a person of interest in a carjacking and two armed robberies in Florida.
Everything's legal in New Jersey.
Yeah.
The Dover, Delaware report arresting McDonald for two armed robberies there back in 2017. No arrests were made in the Orlando incident. So he's still on the run. They haven't apparently arrested him yet. See, what? You don't do anything good for people. That's what you'll just get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's the lesson you got?
It's the message he was looking for.
Do not
I think.
Step in and help. You will. Something bad will happen to you.
Somebody's going to investigate.
I found a
you.
Second story.
Speaking of helping people and being on the run, A.C. Burleson said he was saved as a Christian some years ago. And along with that came a calling to carry Christ's cross. Now, he took that literally and figuratively.
No.
Sure.
Like you do.
The Andrews, South Carolina 34-year-old left his home state in March to embark on a journey to the Grand Canyon, all while bearing a large cross over his shoulder.
That's what donkeys are for. You can hire those.
This motherfucker is going to drag a cross.
Across
the country. Oh my god. This motherfucker.
This dumbass.
He's walking along US 72.
Dear god.
A stretch that recently included Colbert County. He's hoping it serves as a reminder to every passing motorist about the sacrifice that Jesus made. Anything to get God's word out.
Did Jesus walk down a highway?
I don't know. Forrest Gump did. Maybe Jesus did too.
Well,
who fucking knows?
They've paved it.
He said he built the cross after feeling a call from Jesus to carry it. Did he call you? Collect? Was that on your cell?
Did he give you like blueprints?
Did he FaceTime you?
How did you know how to make the cross?
What'd you feed the lions?
He says, when I got saved, God called me.
Jesus called, Peggy answered.
Got the voicemail. It said, be a walking memorial for him. He says, I've never done a long distance like this before. Most of the time, it was just town to town.
Oh.
Wait, he's done this before?
Well, isn't that what those passion plays are about? Don't they wander about with a cross?
I don't know.
I know. Easter eludes, I don't understand
this
Easter.
This is the first I've ever seen of anything like this. I've made a lot of jokes about shit like this.
And now you finally know.
And now
one.
It's really happening.
Now it's really happening.
It is. He generally travels 12 to 14 miles a day and continues to be moved by the responses he receives. One guy, he says, turned his car around and immediately started trembling and tearing up when he approached me. Maybe because you're a crazy guy dragging across the state.
That was fear you were seeing.
Once... He says a woman at red light hollered at me. She pulled over and cried.
Hollered?
I was one block away from killing myself. She said, this is stopping me. Well, good. Look at that.
Okay.
Good for you. All right. Mm-hmm. My
He helped somebody. There you go. Check that off your list.
Yeah. He says he always wanted to see the Grand Canyon and wonders how he will react when he arrives there. I hope he stays on the ledge because they're having a problem with that.
Exactly. People falling into the Grand Canyon and dying. That'll be only if he tries to get a selfie of himself with the cross.
Yeah.
I want to see him just like fling the cross into the Grand Canyon.
Oh, on fire! Set it on fire!
Not on fire. It's still a high fire risk.
Yeah. No.
Don't give him ideas.
Let's see how this sounds. Hang on.
Jesus called. Peggy answered.
Sordid Lives.
Oh my God. Sordid Lives. We need to watch that movie.
Was that steak tender? The steak you had that Peggy died?
Was that steak tender?
You shouldn't leave your legs in the middle of the floor for her to trip on.
You need your legs. Oh my God. Sordid Lives.
Well, now we have a story to follow in the weeks and months to come.
That's right.
We do. Yeah. Cross burning at the
Jesus
at
fucker.
He's got to have a Facebook page. All the way.
I'm sure.
Oh my God, you're right. He probably does.
Mm-hmm. Was it JesusAcrossAmerica.com? DragonThisFuckingCross.com?
Jeffrey Smith is joining us from the YouTube.
My tired ass is dragging this fucking cross.
Got nothing better to do.com.
And Instagram.
Wait, we need to work the feeling cute meme in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Feeling cute, drag it across.
Might
throw it in the Grand Canyon.
Self calling, might drag across America.
I don't know.
I don't know.
IDK. WWJD.
Yeah.
What would Jesus do, IDK?
On the day he was feeling cute.
I know.
Oh, no, that one. I don't know if we
The one that, was it you, Kat sent it? That
Al, no, was me.
Still Al.
That is the most amazing thing that can I could never have posted.
Oh, might get nailed by a Roman later.
Yeah, just the whole.
Oh my God,
feeling cute.
I don't think he's gonna be feeling cute after he drags 3,000 miles.
Right. I hope there's a
he's
wheel.
He's gonna get a shoe sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a wheel or something on the end of that cross because otherwise it's just gonna as he drags it, it's just gonna.
Well, he's gonna start a fire.
Down.
Yeah, no, he's gonna start a fire.
Could. There's many things that could happen to this.
I'm no Bible expert, but
should there be really?
Yeah, I know that comes as a huge surprise to all four of our listeners, but
it turns out I know more about Easter than the Catholic that lives in my house. So
I'm with Al. I don't understand. But
when two rabbits love each other,
I think
other.
There should be a rule. Very there's a button. There's some chocolate.
Something rises.
Yeah, but not the bread. Allegedly,
anyway. Shouldn't there be a rule that you can't drag the cross farther than Jesus did? Like, how far did he?
Yeah, nobody
take
likes
it?
A show off,
right? I mean, he had to carry the cross, but like, how far?
Interestingly enough, Leviticus doesn't say anything about dragging your cross. It's really any man's choice.
You carried it.
How about dragging your ass?
Well, but
what do you mean? How far though? Like, was it miles or?
But funny enough, Leviticus doesn't say anything about how far you should or shouldn't drag your cross.
Oh, I see.
Oh, is that
saying.
Where they're pulling this from?
A couple of problems.
Well, they pulled the cross from over here.
Oh my!
Over there.
One, Leviticus is the chapter with all of the rules that's way before Jesus.
Oh, right.
So
right.
There is no Jesus in that because the Jews actually believe in that too.
Yeah,
Jesus
that's Old
later,
Testament,
so it's,
right?
It's a real bad Bible
That's
joke.
A no lobster one that I'm out.
Yeah.
The shellfish and the pigskin and
the mixing of
stoning your daughter, like all of that shit is in Leviticus.
The mixing of fabrics.
Crazy people.
Hmm.
And now they're dragging crosses across the fucking country.
Exactly.
Oh, you see them coming.
Yeah. That joke didn't work very well.
You just put a red light on
the back.
Do
I have a story?
Should have a little flag.
Oh, shit. My computer just flipped.
They should have a little flag on their cross.
So here's a good one, Al, for you.
Just for you, Al.
Man sues parents for destroying his $29,000 porn collection.
Oh, no. Didn't we do that?
Oh, you did that already?
I don't know.
Maybe it's happened more than once. Maybe it's happened more than once.
Should I do it live?
Do it live. Do it again.
Did you already do this one?
I feel familiar because we sided with him.
I have another one.
Yeah,
didn't he move out and they wanted the room for something else?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Wasn't that the parents that were suing their kid to evict him?
Yeah, that was the
suit. Yeah,
we did that one too.
This, the parents have trashed the porn, it sounds like.
Yeah, they
which
did.
Which should be a crime.
They said they
that
did,
is in Leviticus.
They would have done it if they had found a kilo of crack cocaine as well. All very dramatic. An Indiana man
cocaine
is
and porn do very different things.
Exactly. His parents for a ballsy act. There's more. Don't worry, there's more. Destroying his very valuable porn collection, the man who's being identified only as Charlie claims the porn stash has an estimated value of $28,940.
That sounds really specific.
And includes more, well, because it gets the log.
They keep receipts for every one of them?
But here's what it includes, Al. 400 VHS tapes, more than 1,600 DVs, 160-plus CDs, and 70 sex toys, according to the
First of all, that porn collection is way overvalued because nobody's paying more than 50 cents a piece for those fucking VHSs. I don't care who's in.
That's the gently used toys. That's a one owner only.
Right. Nobody's paying for those either.
I mean, dishwashers do some good.
We're down to about $600 worth of porn. Yeah.
Charlie is seeking $86,822, though, which includes the value of the missing items and the amount it would cost to replace them. Some of the films worthy of inclusion are include Frisky Business and Big Bad Grannies. According to things came to a head this week after Charlie filed a lawsuit against his parents. According to court documents, he moved to his parents' home in Grand Haven, Michigan, while going through a divorce. Although Charlie stayed with his parents for about 10 months, he was asked to leave in August 2017, after what was termed a domestic situation. Don't know what that is.
Yeah, it got him watching porn.
Yeah, yeah,
and there was a situation.
There's 70 different toys at the same time.
Later, the parents traveled to Indiana to drop off their son's possessions, but didn't include his massive porn collection. That aroused Charlie to file aroused.
They put that word in that
They're working harder. There's more.
Oh, they're working hard.
They're working harder.
God.
That aroused Charlie to file a police report about the trash porn collection with the Ottawa County Sheriff's Department. But the prosecutor's office declined to file charges against his parents. A month after filing the report, Charlie sent an email to his dad explaining the situation. If you had a problem with my belongings, you should have stated that at the time and I would have gone elsewhere. Instead, you chose to keep quiet and behave vindictively. According to the lawsuit, the father responded by saying he was doing his son a favor. Believe it or not, one reason why I destroyed your porn was for your own mental and emotional health. I would have done the same if I'd found a kilo of crack cocaine. Someday I hope you'll understand.
First of all, you've got way bigger problems if your kid has a kilo of cocaine.
Okay, yeah.
So by destroying that,
there are sleepy people in China that could have used that kilo of crack cocaine.
And I'm with Kat on the overvalued here.
That porn is way overvalued. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What you don't realize in this story is that man is not carrying a cross across
the country. He's not. He is not.
Jesus called and said, I'll give you back your porn if you take this cross to Arizona.
You get it to Arizona. If you can get this to the Grand Canyon for me.
Just don't knock off any old ladies on that ledge.
Oh my God.
With your fucking cross.
They're not old ladies, though. They're like agile Asians that keep falling over backwards.
Oh. Well, there were, I thought
it
they
was. Like
no, it's the selfie
and,
thing. That's what's driving this.
No, it's
been a lot,
and you feel like it doesn't need to be said, but clearly it does.
It does.
Because when we were just there, like they were like, okay, and there's no rails in parts of it.
It's a hole.
And they're like, please don't be stupid when taking a selfie. And I'm like, or you could ask any one of us to take a photo of you.
That's what I don't
with that same backdrop.
Like, there's
30 of us on this trip.
Like, sure.
We went, two or three years ago with the kids, and I'm definitely afraid of heights, so you're not getting...
Me too.
Like, it's from me to the street, to the edge of that rim, and I'm like, yep, beautiful. I can see
it all.
And I had a death grip on my youngest. Like, nope, he's staying with me. Sharon, you and the old one can go do whatever the fuck you people... Because they're over there at the edge. They're, like, peeking over. I'm like, this one's right here with me.
Nope.
He's not going anywhere.
Right.
No.
I'll get you drone footage.
I'll buy the book. I'll buy the big fucking poster. I did, and I bought a bunch of books at the Grand Canyon. They're fucking fascinating.
Oh,
but yeah, I don't understand any of that.
But like, you realize the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
I don't care. It's making
flat.
It's making me
damn it flat.
Oh, that's what happens to all the DDT. It just kind of falls off the edge.
Yeah. Yeah. The DDT just washes
away.
Edge. Yeah.
Apparently, it causes a lot of erosion.
Yeah, no, it's like giving me anxiety thinking about it. I'm like, nope. I'm good. Like, I can see it from here. I do not need to be up at the edge of anything ever.
No, me either.
I agree.
Have you been to the Space Needle in Seattle?
You know, I've never been to the Space Needle. And I've been at a couple of the tall lookouts. Like, we went up in the Sears Tower. I've been up in the St. Louis Arch.
I don't really have fear of heights. I don't like it. And because Arizona boy, low, never been up high. So... It gives me vertigo, and I guess there's some fear. Like, I don't like at the top of buildings, like, looking out. I'm like,
those are called flashbacks.
So we went to flashback. Thank you.
The 80s.
But when we went to this, Space Needle? What is the Seattle thing?
Yeah.
And it is really beautiful when you get up there. But we walked out on the ledge, and I was fine. I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm cool. And then I looked down, and I got that vertigo. Like, I started to spin. And it's so funny, the people that work there, they're like, you need to go
inside. We know that.
We've seen another
stupid tourist, you know.
Like, oh, first time.
Yeah.
First time,
right, really? right. So I got to know the gift shop girl because I just sat. And she was like, she gave me some water. She's like, you just need to sit here.
Just
and she's like, don't
right.
look. She said, it's funny what she said. She goes, just look at it from
look
here.
Out, yeah.
She goes, just look out. It's beautiful. Don't look. Yeah, no more looking down.
And I almost can't look straight down. And if I do go to those lookouts, like, I'm putting a brave face on it, but I'm white knuckling the shit out of it.
Isn't the Sears one that has the window that comes down so you really can like look straight down?
I did it in like the 90s, so I don't know if that was
and
there.
Then
I don't remember.
The building in LA,
because my mother
has
the same affliction, so I'm sure she had a
death. Oh, the U-Road.
Yeah, the building in the U.S. Bank in LA has the slide from the 71st to the 70th floor, and it's glass.
Nope.
So you actually are like on a magic carpet.
Oh yeah,
flying over LA.
There's like the one. There's like the one ride in Vegas that hangs you over the side of the building. That you just can't.
I will do any ride in the
that's
world.
That's off the stratosphere. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that because I've done the slingshot off the top where they put the 3 G's up your ass and fling you up to 110 stories.
Don't
whatever
do that
business is. That was cool. That's a one and done. The roller coaster is super boring. The roller coaster.
New York.
No, the roller coaster on the top of the stratosphere.
Oh, okay.
It's really boring. Like, you never really feel like you're up high. But I just saw that arm thing go once, and I'm like, that is the hubris of man. Like, that's just asking to die.
Death waiting to happen. Yeah. Right. I saw that in a movie one time, and it didn't go well.
It doesn't go end well.
Mm-mm. A lot of nope.
Yes. Jeffrey's saying there is a glass edge window in Sears now. Yeah, because I remember that was...
I don't know if that was always there, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. But I remember looking and being like, huh, okay, that's a thing. Like, you're just looking straight down.
And like that glass bottom walk at the Grand Canyon, nope, not doing that either.
I know, we missed that. We were going to do that this last trip, but we didn't realize how far west it was.
It's pretty far, yeah.
Yeah, we were already too far across the state to go back that far to it. Yeah. It's in the western side of the South Rim, so...
Kat, would you like to explain this just in case?
Well, I got bored for a minute, so I decided to post on Facebook while I was here. And I captioned it, "Can you guess which flavors we don't like?"
I thought they all tasted the same, but
they don't. They sure don't.
They sure don't.
Okay.
Yeah, because
you can taste green.
That really pretty green there, the paler seafoam green.
Those are... gummy bears.
They're filthy.
For those of you who want to know,
those aren't too bad. These motherfuckers.
Oh, see,
are
I don't
awful.
Mind the dark green ones. It's those sea mist ones. That
lime jello.
Me.
They're just missing the fucking carrots. Those are awful.
Lime motherfucking jello.
I'm from Utah.
So, oh my goodness. Let me entertain
you.
Please so.
Do. I'm gonna get more coffee while you're doing your thingy.
Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Cape Girardeau, yes.
Girardeau, okay.
Cape Girardeau.
Girardeau. I like Girardeau.
Yeah, that sounds good too. But I know where Cape Girardeau
it's
is.
The European pronunciation.
Same thing. Missouri. It is a Missouri county trying to recruit new firefighters is getting real with its sales pitch, saying in signs posted outside its station the job offers hard labor, odd hours, low pay, and cool helmets.
Hey.
Local TV station reports that the Scott County Rural Fire Protection District's chief, Jeremy, let's say Priven, because I don't know what that says most advertisements are kind of boring. He says that's why they wanted to add some humor to it. Try to catch people's attention by saying low pay.
Low pay, that's the one that's really going to whip them
in. The fire district posted a picture of the help wanted message on its Facebook page this week. His name is Parian. Said that they are short about 15 firefighters. Good to know.
Not moving to that county.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get an extra fire alarm. Smoke alarm. Fire department's missing about 15 staff. And rarely have a full staff. The recruitment head comes amid a shortage of volunteer firefighters in the heartland. Well, that's just a very depressing story about fires that are about to burn down the day they decide how to pronounce it.
Gonna learn.
Girardeau. Yeah, Girardeau.
Gonna lose the barn.
Girardeau? Is that how you're saying it?
Cape Girardeau.
Girardeau, yeah. I'll buy that.
Traditional pronunciation.
So, low pay, cool hat.
Sign me up.
You don't have a lot of coworkers, so there's not a lot of people that are going
to
annoy you.
Not a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. Fast track to advancement.
You can be first at every fire.
Yeah. There's that.
Probably second.
The person that started probably, it went there first. Right.
The arsonist
won. Clearly won their race.
Unless it was a time delay.
Wow, we really are good at crime solving. We solved that one. Don't even know what the crime is.
Do you happen to know what your neighborhood's name is?
Bonnie Lee.
Serrano Park.
Serrano Park.
Pearson Place.
No. Actually, you're not. The neighborhood is called Del Monte. That is the area.
Oh, Del Monte.
That's it. Pearson Place is the historic district. But like it's like there is
what's our neighborhood? Is Del Monte?
Del Monte Park. I believe it's Del Monte Park is actually where we are.
It used to be a racetrack.
No. So if you didn't know, oftentimes the area in which you live is named something different than what your neighborhood is actually called.
Okay.
Well, to that point, residents of a particular neighborhood in the Denver suburb of Cherry Hills Village. Mm-mm. May not have ever known the name of their subdivision until now. It didn't appear on the signs, but could be found in the fine print of real estate documents. Nonetheless, the Cherry Hills Village City Council voted unanimously on the 16th of April to change the neighborhood's name from its historic name of Swastika Acres to Old Cherry Hills. Councilman Dan Sheldon explained that the name came from the Denverland Swastika Company, which divided the land into plots in the early 20th century, long before Nazis appropriated the symbol to what they used it for. There was nothing wrong with the name at the time, he says.
Oh, because it's a Hindu good luck charm or something like that, right?
That I don't know. It didn't have it in this little brief story that I snagged in my not being prepared for today's show. But I'm like, hey, that would be sucky. You look through the deed on your house. Where do you live? Well, I live in the Swastika Acres area.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, I have no idea what that symbol or why they even adopted it. What was the... I'm sure we're going to get a history lesson here somehow, some way.
Wikipedia to the rescue.
Gosh, yes.
It was a Hindu
religious
symbol.
I believe so.
But they
think
turned
so.
It like it
was
like that, I think. They
so
did
it was used as a symbol of divinity and spirituality in Indian religions. In the Western world, it was a symbol of auspiciousness and good luck until the 30s when it became a feature of Nazi symbolism and an emblem of the Aryan identity.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it was good luck until the Nazis tried to get
then
some
it
luck.
Wasn't good luck.
Yeah.
Then it was
great.
Real bad
not
luck
so
for a
not
lot
so
of
lucky,
people.
Apiary.
It's warm in here.
You know who didn't think it was lucky? Jews.
Jews.
There is a part of his
like rocks today.
History of the World Part One. Mel.
Oh,
Brooks.
The Mel Brooks. Yeah, yeah.
And I can't remember what if he's got somebody on the rack for the Inquisition or what part of the story. But not so lucky, Pierre. Just it could be in the French Revolution. Just fucked up.
I haven't seen that. I had to watch it again. That's
is
a funny,
funny,
show,
funny movie.
Very funny. Yes, ma'am. Kat Carlson.
Oh, God, it's my turn. I was looking up History of the World.
Well, you can do that. You can do that, too.
I can do other stuff. You know who's upset?
Many people.
Besides the Jews. Ireland. Oh, Ireland is in an uproar after a picture of the worst pint of Guinness ever was shared to Twitter.
Wow.
Well, stand by. I'm going to find that picture.
Goodness.
Wow.
Many took to Twitter to apologize on behalf of the nation after a woman who was served an absolutely shocking pint of Guinness at the Dublin airport, of all places.
Oh.
I know, shameful.
Now you'd think it's
shameful.
Safe.
The woman was left unimpressed after receiving the disgraceful-looking pint, and who could blame her with what looks like almost 2 inches of foam at the top? Goodness gracious. Kelly J., the unfortunate recipient, took to Twitter to air her disgust. She said, quote, Dublin airport, sort it out. I was offended that they even gave it to me. That's right. Botched pints of Guinness are usually seen abroad.
Usually have to travel.
Wow,
usually,
so this is the
that's the botch.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Can't even look at it.
So
no.
this one has caused quite a stir on the Emerald Isle.
I bet.
Peter Golden was so shocked by the criminal account of head on the pint that he apologized on behalf of the whole city. He said, oh my God, Kelly, I apologize on behalf of Dublin. !
Wow.
Another man took things even further when he suggested that the pourer of said pint should get the book. That's right, he said, I would sack the person who served this. What a disgrace. As a former professional bartender, there is no way we would send a pint out to a customer like that. It remains unclear whether the guilty barman has been found and or reprimanded.
Was the hashtag too much head? Was that what they used?
Oh, I'm sure. I should hope not.
All right, I'll just ask them.
So I don't think that would.
We were taught as children how to pour a beer correctly to present
degrees.
It to my father so sure. that it came with no.
Super raised
no
right.
head. Exactly, raised correct. Well, was it raised by wolves?
From the moment you got out of the crib, you were like, can you pour a cocktail? And you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I got it. So I have a friend that whenever we go for, bless you, whenever Thank we you. Go for food or drink and he gets his beer and he pours it and he pours so that it, all the bubbles disperse because.
Oh, sure. Because there's science to that, too. There's an actual purpose.
Yeah.
Some people will pour a beer very roughly so that it releases more of the CO2 so that it doesn't get trapped in your digestive system. Because then it creates all kinds of discomfort and gas and things.
And that is exactly his point. So he knows when he pours the beer.
Literally science, yeah.
He's like, I know this killed. I'm like, I can't even look at it. Like, you have to drink from that because I can't even look at that glass of beer.
Wow.
I feel like I must do it for you. But it is to release the gas.
Wow.
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Release the Kraken.
Yep. Better the Kraken not be coming out your ass. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's that.
More, a fart little box. More how polite to release the Kraken
so
into the
glass. How old were you when you first made drinks?
I don't know.
I'm at like 12, I think. 10
oh,
or 12.
Way younger than that. Probably.
We're beer fetchers as soon as we could walk.
Like, yeah, I was just going to say. I mean, I learned well, rush.
My family never drank a lot of mixed cocktails. It was... Yeah. There was a wine cooler phase for a long time, so there was some Bartles and James happening.
California coolers.
When I was old enough to see the counter and put the whiskey in the glass was however old I was that day.
All right.
But Rush the Duck meant go downstairs and grab a beer from
the
fridge.
I was this old.
I was counter high. Because the liquor cupboard upstairs was right next to the sink. But sure. I don't think we ever narrowed down where that came from. Like, nobody ever pinned him down and said, what does that mean? But if he said, rush the duck, that meant...
Go get a beer.
Go get a beer from downstairs.
Hello, Anand. Welcome. Mm. I don't remember how old... I agree. I probably was a beer fetcher here and there. Well, but I do remember specifically... Mom, I you might recall this, but you may not. I remember in 1984... Because Mom had got the gray Grand Prix car, and because we were back home in Missouri, it was a smaller town. Everybody knew everybody, right? So I had no driver's license.
Because there's not a lot.
But
of
no, but we were far from Cape Girardeau. I remember driving with the money because we had to have milk for the morning because you know breakfast cereal as kids.
Container of milk
and
loaf of bread.
And I remember buying Mom beer at the store. I'd go and it was cigarettes. I think back in the day she was smoking, so I'd go drive the car illegally at 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Drive to the corner store, which was probably 2 miles from the house from by the way where we lived. And gallon of milk and smokes and beer and everybody tell your mom I said hi and then would go home.
No. There was no question about that at the grocery store to buy the case of beer, buy whatever it was to throw in there. It must have been whiskey for my grandfather, like whatever it was. Like they knew it wasn't for
right. It was sure.
They knew that this particular batch of groceries, and I'm sure I snuck something in for myself, but most of the time it was. I think my grandfather wanted like a bottle of VO, a $50 bill, and a cigar or something. Was his? That's what he had to come home from the bank cashing and grocery store and all that stuff.
Okay,
I think it was VO. It was some bottle of whiskey, a cigar, and a $50 bill was what he needed as his token of appreciation from. There's all kinds of fucker. My family's nuts.
I like it.
And they're not here to defend themselves right now. Wait till Debbie
all they would do is not agree with that story.
Right.
And correct me on what kind of whiskey
it was.
Mine wasn't my parents. My mother wouldn't have allowed me to like do that. But it was when we would go to Tucson to my dad's side of the family, because that's the alcoholic side of the family. And so my what we would call a great aunt, of your siblings of your grandmother. Yeah. And so it would be like Thanksgiving, you know, big things. They would come and stay for a week, you know. And so they were old, so they would just make me get up and, you know, anybody little. But so my uncle – but it wasn't very complex. It's my Uncle Gene, because he'd start drinking about 11 a.m.
Yeah, a good time. Yeah.
11
yeah,
comes twice 11. A day.
About his big tumbler. And he would just tell me, he would just put ice in it, and he's like, you just fill it halfway up with the brown part, and then the rest is water. And then just, so it was probably like whiskey. I don't know what it was.
And
so.
If you got a little bit of an essential tremor, as you get it to me, it's going to be shaking.
And they would just drink that, all of them, all day long. And he was really funny. He was the gay uncle, the one gay one, you know. So And he was just so funny. And I can remember I was, and I think it maybe was only like 8 or 9. And I remember what he had to hand it to him. He'd say, thank you. He'd take a sip. And he's like, you know, it's a little bit better than elephant piss, but not much.
Not much, yeah.
I feel like somebody in my back life used to say something like that.
Yeah, it must have been a thing back then, but he'd say it, and he has such a good sense of humor. It was so funny.
Oh, gosh, that sparked some reflection of a memory in me for some reason. I don't know who said it. I may never know.
Yep.
But, wow.
So, and Anand is listening from tomorrow, where it's May Day, or Labor Day in India.
Oh, sure.
But they're celebrating the Workers' Day, traditionally celebrated with vodka, in honor of the Ruskies.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Whose story is it?
Is yours resolved?
Doug's. Yeah.
Okay.
Resolved. Well,
we don't know if the bartender was sacked or not.
Yeah.
But
Oh, you had the bad follow. Head.
Sorry. Yeah, two stories to follow up on now. Look at you.
There's a lot that's wrong with this next story. Armed robber accidentally shoots himself in the penis while robbing a hot dog stand.
Film at 11.
Exactly. Wiener for wiener.
This has to be fake.
In the waistband of his pants. His name is Terrion Pouncey. 19.
Jesus Christ. It sounds like a cat.
He's a little less pouncy now.
Shot himself in the penis while allegedly trying to rob a hot dog stand in Chicago's South Side neighborhood.
Also, how much money are you getting off a hot dog stand?
Right.
Chicago dogs are expensive.
He held two employees of Maxwell Street Express at gunpoint Tuesday morning. Pouncey put his gun in his waistband and ran, but accidentally pulled the trigger. He's recovering in the hospital. He accidentally shot himself in the penis while allegedly holding up a hot dog stand. Two men, 39 and 45, were working at the restaurant during the time of the robbery. Pouncey allegedly held the gun to the head of the 39-year-old. He had been holding a bucket filled with grease and asked the other employee to get cash from the register. As they handed the cash and their wallets over, the bucket of grease spilled and the money went flying.
Pouncey, who was holding the grease? Pouncey?
I think the guy he was robbing. Pouncey grabbed the money and tucked the gun in his waistband and began to flee. As he ran, the gun accidentally went off and shot him in the penis.
Oh, God.
He ran a few blocks away and then called 911 to say he had been shot, and police arrested him at the hospital.
Yeah.
I bet.
I feel like when you say that name, remember the story we had a week or so ago where the guy's name like Shifty and D Money.
Oh yeah, D Money
and Smoothie.
And Pat. Now, well, we can add Pouncey.
Pouncey is part of the group now. Huh? Pouncey.
Yes, he's got his sagging pants and all kinds of the thug life.
And his thug life.
Shot his own hot dog while trying to rob a hot dog.
Pouncey shot himself in the
back. My God.
That's all I got.
It's enough.
That's all you need.
I'm out now.
Pouncey gave.
That was plenty. Some gave all. Pouncey gave.
Just the tip.
Yeah, just the tip.
Plenty.
So, Pouncey's not going to have a lot of fun in Portland, Maine. Because the tradition of releasing balloons at weddings, birthdays, penis removals, and memorials may soon get deflated by lawmakers in more than a half a dozen states.
Agree with this.
Critics say the helium-filled balloons pollute the environment and threaten birds and other wildlife when they fall to the earth. People don't realize that it's littering. Mm-hmm. That's why we want to bring attention to this, said State Representative Lydia Bloom, who's supporting a balloon bill in Maine. It's a common sense thing. Nationwide, there's a growing awareness of the problem, and it has energized legalization in state governments. Bills to limit the release of large numbers of balloons are being aired in legislatures in Arizona, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Maine. Texas is also considering a study, that's as far as they go, on windblown and waterborne litter that could include helium balloons. Kentucky is also considering it. These states would join California, Connecticut, Florida, Tennessee, and Virginia, all of which already have laws that ban or restrict launches. California's laws applies only to foil balloons, while Connecticut is currently considering a stricter law. A Florida environmental activist helped launch a non-profit organization called Balloons Blow.
Mm-hmm.
Clever, isn't it? Maine's proposal to ban mass balloon releases took flight at a town meeting last month on Unity. Penny Sampson, chairwoman of the select board, said she had witnessed a couple releases in person And I guess she cried all day. Once was in 2000 when... Wow. Oh, it's a sad story. I'm not going to read that. to pollute the environment and cause... Because now we're going to be laughing at something truly horrible mm-hmm. when they did the memorial. Mm-hmm. Marine life, wildlife issues is really not a good way to memorialize someone. So just if you think like that balloon thing is, you just don't. Like,
I agree.
99 red balloons was the last we had.
Someone did that at the memorial kind, and I was like...
Yeah.
We need to really not do it, but yeah, what can you say?
Shoot him down.
Mm-hmm.
Target practice.
Whoa! Turn it into a game. That sounds fun.
But yeah, before it gets to the ocean and kills a dolphin, how about we stop that shit?
Yeah, I agree. That doesn't need to be done. Mm-hmm. I totes agree with that. The other thing is Mylar balloons, because they will actually conduct electricity.
Right.
They have gotten caught in power lines before and shorted out entire neighborhoods.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
So that's a bad... Well, actually, there was a fire
started. And ours was Mylar at the memorial I went to. It was a big Mylar heart balloon, and they like let it go.
Yeah, they conduct electricity.
Time to start taking the air rifle to the memorials.
Somewhere the internet's not working. Because of that Mylar balloon.
Somewhere. In our last story for our headline section, before we get into something possibly more entertaining, we're going to delve into some science. Some science here. Science and religion.
You're all about science.
Sometimes they commingle, sometimes they don't.
They don't.
Over Easter weekend, hundreds of people visited the gum tree in the suburb of Perth, Australia, after the tree appeared to start weeping on Good Friday, which the faithful took to be divine sign from the heavens. For 3 days, the tree continued to leak water from a branch stump, provoking people to drink the holy water and then bathe in it.
Quote, at least they're clean.
What made it exciting yesterday is a man decided to take off all of his clothes and have a shower, remarks neighbor Jackie Basich. I think we're going to go with that.
Sure.
He told the local news station. The religious excitement died down after the Water Corporation discovered the tree's naturally growing roots had simply wrapped themselves around a cracked iron water pipe. And then the water shot straight up the tree and leaked out of a hollow trunk that started spewing
the
water.
That's happened to me once.
That's incontinence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very not different. When it spurts out your face.
Different.
Oh, out your face. Well, I'm not exactly sure what you mean. What the hell was that? What was that? I don't even know what that was.
Is that a ghost?
That was an insincere laugh. Much like the one we were already doing.
Yeah, but it was like perfect timing.
That was perfect timing. I don't know how that worked, but this is what I meant to play. We'll see how it is.
We'll do it live.
We have a note from the Game of Thrones cinematographer, and the Tony nominations are out today. I'm not real current on that. Then I have a TV show recommendation for you from the Netflixes.
Okay.
And
can I make a contribution?
Yeah, of course.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction happened, and then a show to look forward to in June, but we may have already talked about it.
Okay.
We did not update my list.
Who knows?
Who knows?
All right, we're going to be back in just mere moments with a little entertainment, and then later on, Kat Carlson with the Wheel of Love and Tenderness.
Yeah.
David, what does burning smell like?
You're listening to You Talk America.